To continue on the explanation of the Gemara, the Gemara is saying, basing itself on the fact that you write down the tam of the mezakin and you write down the tam of the mechayvin. So the issue is, why do you have to write down the tam? Of course, nobody's questioning that you have to write down the position of the person. That's for sure. You have to write down that so and so is mechayev and so and so is mezakeh. That you need to know. But why do we need to know what the reasoning is behind that position? So the Gemara said that as far as the divrei hamechayevim, the tam of the mechayevim, that we need to know in case they change their tam. That is to say, it's really rooted in the din of halana. That's what it's rooted in. Once we've established that there's a need, that in order to find the person guilty, to convict, you have to have halana on a conviction gemar din. So that's true not only of the gemar, the psak din of the bezdin as a whole, but each individual dayan who votes for conviction is mechuyav, can't be gomerit. It can't be completed. That din is not nigmar unless it was subjected to a halona. Therefore, every time it has to be written down. If on the second day, on machras, they review the tamim, and the person remains with that position, the exact same position, so then he can be gomer. Then he has a right to be gomer l'chayav on the basis of that position. But if he changes the position, that is to say, in terms of the reason, he still retains his conclusion that he's chayav, but for a different reason, so now he has to go through another halona. That's why you have to write down the time of the mechayav. The question is, why do you have to write down the time of the mezakin? That's the question. Ela divrei hamezakin my tama. But what do you have to write down? The reason of the mezakin. Lav mishum, is it not? That is to say that he wants, this is what he wants to say, that it must be, because the ichazu tama achrina l'chova, that if he wants to change his position. If he endorses another position, l'chov, he wants to switch to chov, lo mashkin bo, that we don't pay attention to him. We don't allow him to do so. Obviously, this means that gemar din. We're talking over here at gemar din. That if he wants to change his position at gemar din, he can't do so. Therefore, we write down the tam. The obvious question is, if you want to deduce that you must write down the tam of the zchus, the one who found zchus, to prevent, to preclude the possibility of changing, and from there you want to conclude that you can change, thus we can see that he's not allowed to change, and that's why we have to write down the reason, because if this person tomorrow argues for chov, we're going to just take out the record and say you can't do so because you argued for zchus. That's not enough. That doesn't explain why you need the tam. All you need to write down is that he was a mezakeh. I won't give a make for what reason. He was a mezakeh. And once we pick up the book, the records book, and it says he was a mezakeh, and now he's arguing for chov, we cut him off. Of course, you need Rag to look at Rashi. Ela divrei hamezakin. Himisa, the yachal lachzabau, if it is true that he can change. And again, we're talking, like you say, Ravit Gemar Din. No one's questioning that he can't change in Masa Matam. So we're talking about Gemar Din. So if it's true that he can change, Lomeli Lemichtavinu, what do you have to write down? The reason. Imishum Shas Masa Umaton Dilamacha. Well, you see, you see what Rashi's doing. He's cutting off the escape route, so to speak. You have to say that, because you could say that really, like Rav, he can change his mind. See, Rav has a very strong position, which doesn't really come up. Rav has a very strong defense over here. I mean, the Gemara. The Gemara is defending Rav. Doesn't mean Rav personally. Because once you tell me that it's necessary to write down the reason to prevent change, as Rashi will explain, Rashi will explain. Let's go through. We'll come back to this point. Rashi will explain how the writing down of the Tam precludes the possibility of change. Because as you've seen the Rashi, if you don't write down the Tam, then you leave open the possibility that he'll argue that he made a mistake on a Dabba Shet Stuka Modenbo, and we learn from here that if indeed he was Mazaka on the basis of a mistake on a Dabba Shet Stuka Modenbo, then it's not right. It's Bottle, Mavutal, if it's nothing. That becomes a very strong point. You see, what we learned before, that when we say that you can't bring him back, L'chov, Eimachzim and L'chov, once he's been found innocent in court, you can't bring him back L'chov. And the Gemara modified that point, even if they made a mistake. But once they passed him, that's the Psaq. And one of the Psaq gave him a Shem Tzadik, and now he can't be touched. However, we did learn that that's only if the mistake was in a realm of something which ain't not Stukim Modem Bo, Torah Shbel Peh. But if the mistake was in a Davish at Stukim Modem Bo, once we've learned that if the mistake was made in a Davish at Stukim Modem Bo, that's something which is obvious in the Mikra, something which is Pashit, that's such a mistake that the Zilkari Beirav, that it doesn't have any standing, doesn't have any judicial standing, so that you can retry him for. It doesn't create a shame, a tzaddik in the gavra. So that becomes an important point over here. Therefore, you could deduce from that if so-and-so was a mezakeh, and once he's a mezakeh, he can't change to being a malamed chov, even if he recognized that he made a mistake, because it has a certain status, he already gave a decision, a hora. He was already mora l'schus. That's only if it has the status of a hora. But if it was, he realizes that the mistake was so blatant, it was a davar shetukim modem bo, so then he's not considered to be a mazak anymore, and he can argue l'chov. So therefore, if we want to ensure, we want to make certain that once he's mazaka, he's not going to be chozer u'malamid chov, there's a loophole. What if he comes back the next day and says that, yes, I was mezakeh, but the reason that I gave was a mistake, and it was a mistake on a davar shetukim modem bo, so it has no validity, so I'm not a mezakeh, and now I can be melamed chov. How do we protect against that? By writing down the tam. By writing down the tam. So now, what the Gemara is saying is that the reason why we write down the tam, the only possible explanation, why do we need the Tam of the one who's the Mazaka, is to preclude the possibility of his changing his position and then arguing that he made a mistake on a Davich Tukum Odenbo. If he claims that, so we'll take out the record and we'll look at the Tam. Thus, we must conclude that the Malamites Source is Eino Chozer Malamid Chov, even at the time of the Gemara Din. Because you have to explain what is the need to write down the Tam. What do we need to know the Tam? Just write down that Ploni Zika, that he was a Mazaka. And what the Gemara wants to deduce right now is that the only possible explanation as to why you have to write down the Tam is to prevent him from changing his position at the time of the Gemar Din and basing it on a claim that he made a mistake on a Dava Shat Stukim Modem Bo. That's what we write down the top. Rashi says, Imishum Shas Masu Matan Dul Machar, if you want to say that you need the Tom for the time of the Masu Matan of the following day, Hamilsa B'Yalmahi. It's just a general idea. Kadesha Yachzer Achar Aschus. That he should be Chozer after Schus. Lichtov Ploni Zika. Let him write. So let him just write that so and so was a Mazaka. In other words, if you want to say that the reason we write down the Tom is because, even according to Rav, you see, even according to Rav, Rav agrees that he can't change. Rav agrees there's a time when he can't change. What's the time when he can't change? Masu Matan. So if your concern is that we want to prevent him from changing at the time of Masa Umatan Dil Machar, so that doesn't require, that doesn't necessitate the writing down of the Tom. All you have to do is write that Ploni was a Mazaka. And that's it. What do I care why? That's what Rashi says. So what do you have to write down? Elolav Mishum Vihadarbei. But you must say it's because if he changes, Lo Tzaisinon Lei. We don't listen to him. Hilkach Bai Lemichtav Tama. Therefore, we have to write the Tam. Delo Nunshaya Latame, that he shouldn't change his reason. We're concerned. I mean, even though what he would be doing over here would be wrong, it's us that would do that. It would be lying, it would be unethical, whatever you want to say. That's so what? I mean, these things can happen. We have to protect. The Nema, B'davash Atzluka Modimbo, Hayisi Tala. And he'll say that he'll change his tam and he'll want to vote lechov at the time of the Gemar Din, and he'll say that he made a mistake on a davish at Sukkah Modimbo. Alright, so let's review now. The Gemara wants to prove that Rav is wrong from the phenomenon of the Sofrei Hadayonim. The Sofrei Hadayonim write down the tam, not just the position but the basis, the tam of the Mechayim, the tam of the Mezakim. The time of the Mechayvim, we know why you need the time, because if there's a change in time, you have to have another halana, no problem. But what do I need to know the time of the Mezakim? So Rashi says it must be because he's prevented from changing his position and voting even at the time of the Gemar Din. He can't change his position at the time of the Gemar Din. Because he can't change his position at the time of the Gemar Din, we need to foreclose a loophole, so to speak. And if we didn't have the tam, there'd be a loophole. And that would be that he would have the possibility of changing and arguing that when he was Malamed Tzchus yesterday, he made a mistake, and he made a mistake on a davish at Sukkah Modimbo, which would invalidate it, and therefore he's free to vote Lechov at the time of the Gemar Din. So thus we can deduce that even at the time of the Gemar Din, he's prevented from being chozer malavichov. The question that one can ask on this explanation, the difficulty, Rashi tries to deflect it, as you see. See, once you maintain that the writing down of the Tam is essential, wherever the halacha is that you can't change from schus to chov. So we want to protect that. We want to prevent you from changing. And the way to prevent you from doing so is by removing the loophole, because there is a loophole if you can claim that you made a mistake on a davish at Sukkah Modimbo, so then you were never really a mazaka, and you have the right to go the other way. And therefore, we need to know the tam. But once you say that, so then that would be the reason, according to Rav. Because Rav also maintains that there is a time when you can't change. The only difference between them is, according to Rav, the time is only Masa Umata. According to the other position, the time is Gemar Din. Yeah, but everybody agrees in Masa Umata. Everybody agrees in the Masa Umata, he can't change his position from Schus and argue for Chov. So Rav would say, of course they write down the time for the very same reason. For the very same reason, because we're afraid that he may now start to argue for Chav. And if it just said on the record, Ploni Zika, that he's a Mazaka, that wouldn't be sufficient. He could just go ahead and say that he made a mistake on a Davish Tzuka Magamo. So then there's really no question. However, the Gemara doesn't utilize that answer. The Gemara doesn't utilize it. The Gemara does not jump in and say, what kind of question is this? The Gemara seems to be accepting the premise that this would make sense, that writing down the time as a preventative device from switching makes sense according to the other man, the Amar. But according to Rav, it would be a question. That's why they're forced to come up with a different explanation for the writing down of the time. Right now we're going to do the Tosfos. Elo divrei hamazakim my tamo. Pirsha kuntras. Lomli limich divinu. Mishimasu matan delamacha. Why do we have to write it down with regard to the masu matan of the next day? Hamilsa biyoma. Who? That's just a general thing. Kadeshi achzar achar schus. In order that he should search for schus. Lichtov ploni zika. Just write down that so-and-so was mazaka. Lamali tama. Why do I need the reason? Elamishim di hadar lo tzaisi lay. It's only because if he changes, we don't listen to him. Hilkach tzarech lamichtov tama. Therefore, you have to write down the reason. Dlo lema b'dava shatzdukin modenbo hayishi toa. So you shouldn't say that he made a mistake on a davar shetzlukim modimbo. Alright, so he basically summarizes Rashi. V'im tomar, now Tosis asks, u'mehai tama, tzarech lichtov tama. And according to this reason, you have to write the reason of the mezakeh. Afapi sheyochol lachzor b'shas kmarden. Even though he's permitted to be chozer at the time of kmarden. Mishum de b'shas masu matan de l'machar, because of the time of the masu matan of the machar. Shlo yama b'dava shetzlukim modin ha'yisi toa v'yachzor. That's the question. That this is the reason. And Rav maintains that you can't change your position during the masu matan. So if that's the case, we have to be concerned that he would want to change his position. And how can he change his position? By saying he made a mistake on the dava shetzlukim modin bo. So for that reason, you have to write down the tome. The Yesh Lomar Kivan Deleka Nafkusa Kule Hai Le'inyan Pater V'chova Pater V'chova Shal Nidon. Since it doesn't make that much difference, re the guilt or innocence of the defendant, Elo Akadei Sheyachzor Achar Zchuso, but it's just that he should seek out, search for Zchus. Lo hoyulam lachosh, there was no need to be concerned. Lichtov tama, to write the tam. Me'acha the b'shas gemar adin yichol lachta b'cholinim. Since at the time of the gemar adin, he can change b'cholinim anyway. Doesn't matter. Aval em einam yicholim lachta b'cholinim. But if you can't change. In all cases, that is at the Gemara Din, you can't. Af b'shas Gemara Din, even if you can't change b'chol inyan, either way you want, even at the time of the Gemara Din, sheyesh nafkusa, where it is, consequential. It has a bearing, it has an impact. Az roy lichtov, then it is kedai, it's correct, it's fitting to write the tam. There's a number of problems with the way Tosis is expressing the answer. And that is, he seems to be saying it's not that much of a nafkusa. That should be, that is to say, doesn't make that much of a difference. I mean, it does make a difference or it doesn't make a difference. Well, what's this quantitative factor? But I think that one can argue even further. And that is that if it's not a nafkusa, I'm going to challenge Tosis now. If it's not that germane or consequential to the actual outcome, so then why do we have this halakha in the first place that it can't be chosir in the masu matan? It must be consequential to have a halakha like that. Why? That he should be machzor achas chos. That he should search for chos. Now that, if that's not important, and why is he searching after schus? So this person should be found innocent at the time of the Gemara then. I mean, it's related. We're not just involved in some kind of an exercise over here. It's related to the outcome. It's based upon the Yitzilu, trying to save the guy, trying to find schus. So it's kind of a mamadav shach. Make up your mind. If this phenomenon of forcing him to remain on the position of schus and not to switch to being malamei chov, is that significant or it's not significant? Obviously, it is significant. So if it's significant and he can't change, so then we should write down the reason to cut off any possibility of change. If, on the other hand, you're saying it's not significant, it's not consequential, in other words, the problem with this kind of an answer is that when it comes to making the law in the first place, then apparently it is significant. It does have nafkusa. When it comes to protecting it, however, by preventing the change, by writing down the reason so he can't say that he made a mistake on Davish Tukumando, man, it's not such a nafkusa. That seems to be difficult. It seems that Rashi said the same thing. Hamil to be almahi, shas masul matan melacha is not sufficient. Is not sufficiently important to warrant writing down the reason. So the question arises. I mean, if it's either it's significant or it's not significant. Either or, manushach. If it's significant to warrant to create the halacha, then ino chozer melam echov. So then you and the writing down at the time is always the protection that always protects that institution, that phenomenon. So then you should write it down. And if it's not that significant, so then it shouldn't be there in the first place. Let him change his position. You're not afraid. It expresses itself in the fact that ain lachosh. There's not sufficient reason to be of concern over here. All right, so we're going to wait a while. I'll give the fellow the chance to think over the idea behind Tosfos. Tosfos' answer, the distinction that Tosfos is drawing, and then Rashi is endorsing as well. Meanwhile, we'll just go further a little bit with the Gemara. So, in doing so, whatever the case is, let's assume for the time being that it's valid, that this distinction that Tosfos made is valid. Of course it's valid. I mean, we have a problem understanding it. But you can't defend Rav that way by saying that according to Rav that the prohibition of changing during Masa Matan is sufficient to warrant the writing down of the Tom. So then what's the then if that's the case, if you don't make that point, if you're not going to defend yourself that way, so then you have a question, a raya against Rav. So the Gemara says, lo, it's not the reason for the writing down of the Mazakin is not because of that. Today, Shlo Yomru Shnayim Tam Echad Mishnei Mikros. It's for a different reason. And that is that two Dayonim should not say the same reason. That is to say, what about this phenomenon where you have two Dayonim, they agree. They agree with the Psak of Zchus. Oh, it doesn't really matter. We're talking about Tzchus. But they base it on two different psukim. One finds the idea expressed in one pasuk, and one finds the same idea expressed in a different pasuk. So, what's the halach in such a case? Kedibah minei ravasi Rabbi Yochanan. As this is a question, obviously. So that's important to note that it's a nibayah, that this is not so simple. This is lends itself to two different formulations. Amru Shnayim Tam Echad Mishnei Mikros. If two Dayanim gave one opinion from two different psukim, Mahu, what's the halacha? What does he mean to say? Is do you have two votes or one vote, basically? Which is very significant. Amalei, he said to them, Ein monu lehen ela echad. We only count it as one. Minan emili, from whence do we know this? Amar Abaya, Abaya said, the amakra. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Achaz diber Elokim, Shtayim zu shamati. Mik, which means to say that God spoke one thing, that's a reference to one pasuk, and shtayim, I heard two ideas, which means that one pasuk has many, many levels of interpretation. You can have many ideas included in one pasuk, that's for sure. But he's saying, mikra echad yotzei l'kama tamim. One mikra can contain, can express many ideas. The ain tam echad yotze mikamik ros. But one reason, one idea is not expressed by diverse psukim. Of course, don't ask me about the fact of repetition. That's repetition. You have in the Torah, you know, Mishnah Torah and Devarim, many things are repeated. That's a different idea. But even there, you learn, the halacha is learned from one particular pasuk, the other one is a repetition, so on. But meaning two distinct psukim. And the way the Torah is written, you know, two distinct psukim can often lend themselves to, each pasuk can lend itself to a different formulation. So it's possible that we can both agree in a halacha, but I learned the halacha from this pasuk. That's what I think, that's where the pasuk is expressing the idea. You could take a different pasuk and you can make a case and show that, no, this pasuk is expressing the idea. But what's the difference? If you have a phenomenon like this, they both vote for schus. One finds it in one pasuk. One finds it in a different pasuk. But each person, when the time comes to vote, is voting for schus. Ah. So now, when comes time to vote at the Gemara Din, you got to take out the books and see the reason. And apparently the tam that they give has to include also the source. That's part of it. Because if it didn't include the source, then you wouldn't have this idea. And if it should turn out that they're both saying the same tam, but the derivation is from two different psukim. So if you ask me, I'd say, what's the difference? He votes the source and he votes the source. What's the problem, though? It's amazing. Also, bear in mind how many things that we've done, the tilting of the balance and so forth, the scales for schus, because we see but over here, which you would think, yeah, we should do it because we want to do that. Can't do it. Why not? And Rashi explains. Tam echad mishnei mikros mefarish lekamen echidam. All right, so the Gemara later on will explain how we're talking about how that happens. Eimon len el echad. We only count them as one. The chad mehanach kroy lav lahachi yasa, because one of these psukim does not have this meaning. It's not coming to teach you this idea. The kaimelon lo nichtavu shnei mikros l'tam echad, because we have a principle. We have a principle that the Torah does not express the same idea in two diverse psukim, two different psukim. Only in one pasuk. One pasuk contains the idea. That pasuk can contain many levels of ideas. Hilka chad minayu mita toy. Therefore, one of them must be making a mistake. Now, achas diber lokem shtayim zushamati. So that's a deduction. It's interesting. He's stating it in the opposite. He's stating it in the positive. Achas. Yeah, achas, one. One pasuk was God said, and I learned that two things. Aval shtayim lo diber lokem lishma achas. But God didn't say two different things to teach you one idea. The question we're asking is that it's not that clear. It's not that understandable. And because we accept the fact that people can have the same verdict for different reasons, and people can have the same verdict from different psukim. You have 14 people for chol, each one has a different pasuk, so each one counts as a vote for chol. They don't have to agree on the psukim, even though they agree on the result. So now the problem is, but if we are saying the same tam, so then one of them is wrong. But if you say that one of them is wrong, so how can you count? So don't count either one of them. It doesn't seem to make any sense. So then, if one of them is wrong, then both of them are wrong because they're both saying the same tam. So what's the difference if they disagree on the pasuk? By counting one, you're endorsing the tam. You're saying it's a valid tam.
Yeah.
The difficulty is as follows, it seems to me. And that is, if you're going to say, well, one of them has to be wrong, because he has the wrong source. So, and since he has the wrong source, there's something wrong with his tom. It's a defective tom. But you are counting that very same tom, then you should be allowed to count either one. Because when it comes to one of them, you're going to say the tom is a good tom, but when it comes to the other one, you say the tom is a bad one. That's very difficult to fathom. What it means to say as well is, it doesn't mean that it invalidates the tom. Because we don't know that the tom is right or wrong. We don't know that. However, in a situation like this, you have to say that the source that he bases himself on. Obviously, that's part of the tom. It's part of the tom, because if it's the wrong source, then that's it. He's wrong. He made a mistake. So, by citing the wrong source, that gives it the shame of a toss. It doesn't have validity because it's a toss. I mean, a toss is a toss. Okay? So over here, as far as that is concerned, we have to conclude that one of those tamim, one of those opinions, is flawed, has a mistake. One of them we can't say is flawed, because we're not passing judgment on the tam. Tam can be the correct tam. But if the opinion contains the pasuk, and it can't be that's the pasuk, so then you made a mistake. So we have two opinions over here. One of them has a flaw, and one of them doesn't have a flaw. We don't have to know which one it is now. All we have to do, we count one as a schluss. We cannot count both, because the other one definitely had one of these has a flaw. One of them does not have a flaw. It's not to say that one of them is right. We don't know which one is right. But we have a problem over here. They both cannot be unflawed. Let's put it this way. And one of them is definitely flawed. So, therefore, you have to eliminate a flawed argument. That would explain why there's really not a problem over here. That in general we're trying to do Vitzilu and all of that, and we have all these different mechanisms. But as we've explained many times, the mechanisms are just extraneous factors to make it more difficult to convict and to give more room to put greater energy into the drive for finding a zechus. But it's got to be v'shaf to Eda v'yitzilu Eda. There's got to be mishpat. So here one cannot argue and say, let's count both of them because we want to save him. That would be a conflict with v'shaftu. It's not mishpat. This, all the mechanisms are only through valid mechanisms of zechus. So it's one thing to say you need a majority of two to convict and a simple majority to acquit. That's fine. See, that's an extraneous factor. You're not tampering with mishpat in that situation. That is to say, by requiring a majority of two, so there's a greater degree of certainty. However, over here you can't use that argument.